I'd like to send greetings to everyone listening to this recording. I'm Rob Christie. I'm here this morning with my friend Jim Hamilton. We're similar in age, both past the big 7-0, and both have been involved to various degrees in what's loosely called the personal growth and transformation movement. And from my side of things, Jim easily makes the top five, maybe number one, with respect to the people that I've encountered who I think have something genuine to offer anyone who is seriously committed to their own personal growth and wanting to make meaningful changes in their lives. And our purpose today is to focus on giving you a very good overview of what Jim has to offer. So with that as a starting point, Jim, let's suppose I've heard about you and from someone who was impressed. And I don't know very much about you. And we're on a telephone call. And I'm interested in embracing your work. What would you share with me right at the get-go when we're just getting started?
Where would I start, or where would we start? So first off, of course, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you, Rob. We do such a nice job of communicating and sharing and hopefully having a useful impact on those around us, which of course we do anyway, just by our very nature. I would say that the biggest single thing revolves around a reinterpretation and a new understanding of the importance of our connection with Source. And the reason I say that is if we look around us, everything other than the human beings, all of nature, all of the animals, all the plants, even the mineral kingdom are intact in their connection with Source. And being intact in that connection with Source, all of it operates perfectly. So what we have here is a planet that operates as one sense of nature, one sense of order. And the humans are out of sync with that. And my personal opinion is the humans are dysfunctional as hell because we're out of sync with our natural state of connection with Source. And as we learn how to enable that, personal performance improves, all kinds of things begin to shift. And so that's kind of the foundation for me, is learning to understand about re-enabling our natural state of connection with Source.
Two things I'd like to insert. I imagine most people listening would understand what you mean by Source, but synonyms for Source are God. What other synonyms would you offer for Source?
Well, I use innate intelligence a lot. First off, I use a bunch of terms interchangeably, kind of poetically almost. One of my most, and of course, God, the frequency of God is something I've been using lately. Source, innate intelligence, the divine truth with a capital T.
So all of those are the same thing.
They're all the same thing. And what they all are is a single governance and a single order that everything shares. When I was young, I looked out at the planets, the little I knew of them, the idea of the solar system. I said, there's order out there. So as far out as we can see, as fine as we can see with microscopes and this and that, there's all order. And it seems to me the humans are out of sync with that. But the funny part is this concept about God has been studied since the beginning of time. So there's nothing new about it. It's not like a new idea, but we're looking for new language to explain it to the modern man to understand the importance of this partnership, this blending, if you will.
Most people I know that are involved to varying degrees in personal growth and transformation have been at it for a while. It's not a short journey.
A lifetime.
Yeah, and there are a large number of opportunities out there by various practitioners offering people a way to go. You know, some you might label as spiritual, some psychological. But what I hear you saying very strongly is that if one is pursuing any of a wide variety of these opportunities that don't take into account the necessity for a connection with source, God, whatever word you want to use, they're ultimately going to reach a dead end. Is that a fair statement, sir?
Well, the way I would say it is, first off, anything that's introspective, anything that causes you to start to wander from the beaten path and to explore, all of it counts. There's no any kind of introspection, any kind of wondering how this became that, or contemplating why flowers come up in the springtime and just the order of all things and just that inner exploration. But frankly, mostly what I see out there was developed in the 80s and not much change. Okay, you got med beds now and this and that and things that plug in and new technologies, but to be sure, technologies that plug in that do things to you are not the same as you doing things to yourself. There's a whole introspective world that we have to develop and being broadcast to or programmed by technology, while it might feel good or this or that, there's ultimately we have to learn how to partner with source. That's an inner job. The discovery of the importance of our nature being whole in partnership with the frequency of God. And I'll give you an extreme example, or an example, the Ten Commandments, which go back approximately 2,000 years, maybe 2,500, I don't know the numbers, but the Ten Commandments earlier came from the Book of the Dead, which was Egyptian, and that set of instructions or rules, if you will, go back 8,000 years. So the point is, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and that's a real loose interpretation. That teaching goes back in our spirituality to the beginning. And so I notice that as I follow my own nose in seeking out what's true and this importance of our connection with source, I discover it's been taught for 8,000 years. And by the way, the Book of the Dead, which was Egyptian, the older the hieroglyphs, the higher the quality, or the older, the older the hieroglyphs, the higher quality the hieroglyphs were, the carvings and all that. And so the Book of the Dead goes way, way, way back. And of course, Moses was Egyptian, but he's the one where the Ten Commandments came from. So it's an Egyptian lineage that's at least 8,000 years old, that God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And it's just as foundational then as it is now. And humans without it, we're like apple trees without roots. I just made that up. Hope it works.
Once new student, new client becomes clear that getting in touch with the frequency of God is a key element in what you have to offer, do you steer everyone in the same direction, or is it determined one-on-one based on what the client presents? You know, how does that occur for the newbie on your block?
Ultimately, we want to drive people toward an understanding that their connection with source is their most important endeavor. Everything else pales being on this planet for our 70, 90, 100 years, 150 years. But the way I often start is by identifying that most human beings are in overload. And overload is a product of using the brain to try to process the entire world. Now, my personal opinion is the brain was designed to process the sensing. We sense out with our eyes and we receive information back. We sense out with our ears, we listen, and we, like, I can accentuate my hearing even while I'm talking to you. And I can maybe try to see if I can hear something out this window. And so we sit and our touch and smell and taste. But the funny part is, four of these five major senses have less than an inch pathway into the brain. So my personal belief is that the brain, as a nodule of the nervous system, as a big hunk of neurons and this and that, is actually its primary function is to process sensing. Think about doing a U-turn in four or five lanes of traffic in front of a Walmart and think about curbs and sensing and all the things you have to do at the same time. That's all calculations. That's what the brain's for. But because we're out of guidance, see, we've moved out of guidance. Our natural state of connection with source, by the way, delivers guidance. And when we're out of that natural state of connection with source, the brain has to manually process everything. It was never designed for that. And most of what we think we know about the brain, in my opinion, is not accurate. I believe its primary function is to process sensory information from our five primary senses. And so overload is where we start. And in overload, that's where the mind comes in. The mind, my personal opinion, the mind isn't that fancy of a tool. Maybe that's why for the last 30, 40 years in consciousness work, we've been repeating everything from the 80s. There's not that much new out there. And so what I like to identify is the importance of the mind, the importance of the brain in this quotient of understanding the nature of consciousness and how we learn how to go back to being true to what is true, which is blending with source, being partnered with source, actually even being a host for it expressing through us for what I call the ride of a lifetime. In other words, it's not I going through the world. It's not I going through the universe. It's, again, blended with source is when the whole world opens up. And as we come to learn that, we start stepping into our truest power.
Is it a fair statement or an oversimplification to say that with respect to the most important issues in life, you can't figure it out?
Well, so we can't figure out anything. A great analogy is that, people try to solve problems assuming that getting underneath the problem, the solution will be there. And it just isn't true. Studying problems will only get you more depth of the problem. The solution does not sit, that you don't have a solution with a problem sitting on top of it, protecting the solution like a shell on a nut. It doesn't work that way at all. In fact, solutions are entirely different from problems, and that's what we spend a lot of our time doing, is studying problems. And it's a mass. So what happens is what we focus on expands. And so if we study problems, our focus is studied in the problem, and all we're going to do is learn more about the problem, which has no end, but it has nothing to do with the solution.
So again, I'm hearing that if you aren't receptive to the notion that wisdom comes from source and the quote solution to your life dilemma comes from source, not from figuring out problems, that you're kind of like a hamster on a wheel. If you will.
Yeah, it's quite true. In fact, One of my there's a couple of controversial remarks I have these days, and one of them is I really don't believe in reincarnation. And all of my, my 50 years background in meditation, all the things that I used to study, all the consciousness work I do, all the exploration that I've done, I don't see reincarnation as being real. Ascension, that's different, but I don't see reincarnation as being real, and I'll tell you why. It's because there's no evidence at all the humans really getting any smarter. I mean, we are just as dysfunctional as a species as we've always been. And in fact, we do it on a grander scale than we've ever done. And yeah, the species is working out, the differences, the polarities, and this and that. But I really don't think that. And by the so the reason where that really comes from is I have had a lot of access to presence. And when you move into presence, you realize that the mind version of things just isn't true. And so this mind-taught idea of reincarnation, past lives, and we learn and we grow, and the soul learns and grows. Once you access presence, you realize it's a very different perspective of what's out there beyond what the mind thinks it understands. And so there's a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of foundational concepts that are simply misunderstood, and the growth of the human species is horrendously slow to the point that while we have always pulled off a solution, and human beings are incredibly resilient. Of course, we are always connected to source, always will be. But to be consciously connected to source is a little bit different. So humans have always made it, but we're on the very edge of not making it. We're at the very edge of toasting our planet altogether. In fact, we're some people would say we're past the point of no return, but that doesn't matter because when you move into a non-linear world, you become partnered with source, exponential multipliers become available. We'd be partnered with source, you are far more powerful than on your own. In fact, Abraham of Abraham Hicks would say, one person connected to source is more powerful than a million who are not.
Wow. What's the distinction between reincarnation and ascension?
All right. So I believe, first off, the bigger the group of people that believe something, the less likely it's true because it's all mind-based understanding. And the mind is not as I've come to discern and attempt to display, the mind is not anywhere near as fancy of a tool as we think it is. I actually lost the question. If you would just go back to it for me really quick.
Sure. During a couple of minutes ago, you mentioned that ascension is different than reincarnation.
Okay.
And I would like our audience to hear what that distinction is.
Okay. So again, reincarnation, I believe, is a misunderstanding. I think ascension. So first off, okay, I was taught a very long time ago that, like, imagine like a globe or like the Earth, but let's say it's all water. The whole entire surface of the Earth is water. A sphere is all water. And the waves that come up are us expressing, and we go back because what the water is, this volume, is actually the frequency of God or whatever you want. It's the order that everything shares. And think of God as a sphere and the waves as humans coming out of God, if you will, expressing and going back in. And that's kind of the way I see the whole thing. But when you become a wave, you have a possibility when you're as an expression to so to quote unquote reach the brass ring, or maybe through a product of, and don't forget, our bodies are a product of the lineage of our forebears. We are the end result of our DNA. And in a lifetime, as a product of the DNA, we have the possibility of accessing a certain type of knowledge, a certain type of letting go. And it's in that certain type of letting go in a physical body that ascension becomes available. I didn't explain that very well, but the essence is I believe there's more ascension going on this planet than we have any idea, because this planet is of polarity, hot and cold, fast and slow, on and off, in and out. And its polarity is how you work your way up the consciousness scale. And as we become more conscious, we become more allowing. As we become more allowing, we become more blended with source. And as you really achieve the ability to become blended with source, you really step into a type of power is a really a poor word, but you step into a type of blending that you can actually step away as an identity. And that's what ascension is. And I believe that then that whole concept of the universe and all its many dimensions and all of its many components becomes available for exploration, because as a sphere that has all this water and the waves, that's expressing. That's God expressing and going back. And I think the humans are by far the most sophisticated thing that God has created in the sophistication of our nervous system and in our exploration, the potential of ascension, for which we then have an identity, becomes evident and available.
I'd like to say a big hello to everyone listening to us today. I'm Rob Christie. I'm here with my good friend Jim Hamilton. We're talking about aspects of personal growth and transformation, and particularly Jim's work. I've been involved for decades. In various aspects of personal growth and transformation, things I did personally, classes I took, and Jim's definitely in the top five, maybe number one, with regard to the people I've had the privilege of meeting who I think have something genuinely positive to offer someone who is into growth and transformation and looking for a system or systems that have actually been proven to work. Jim, I'd like to go back and touch on some of the different technologies, services, if you will, that you offer someone who shows up in your life, who has either been recommended or is intrigued by your work. If you will, let's get into those those possibilities that are open to someone who comes to work with you.
Okay. And again, Rob, always a pleasure to spend time in our conversations and the things we dig around in and draw everybody along as we make discoveries right under our noses as we share ideas. Well, so first off, of course, I have five books now. Visionaries Thrive in All Times is the first one, Blueprint for Reality Creation. The second book is Core Resonance, Ultimate Personal Performance. The third book is Beyond Words, Thoughts Become Awareness. Fourth book is What If Prosperity Has Nothing to Do with Money? And the fifth book is The 12 Premises of Core Resonance Colonies, Ultimate Personal Performance. I think I got that right. No. Anyway, I'm surprised I got through all five of them. So the books are a product of what I've been learning, because thank God I learned. I mean, this whole consciousness project for me has been a documentation of what I've learned, and I've been very fortunate because I have been writing and documenting it since the beginning, to the point that I've ended up with five books and 180 articles and And the whole thing is all, it's been kind of an ascension process of my discoveries. And so my written material is really interesting. I'm starting to do blogging now. This is a part of that. Of course, I have a newsletter that you can access from my homepage at coreresonance.com, CoreResonance.com. And I'm also offering some technologies, and just recently I've divided the technologies into mind-based and what I call nervous system-based, because nervous system-based is a much bigger project to quiet the nervous system. For example, a lifetime of, it takes a lifetime of meditation to truly quiet the nervous system. And so it's not something you do on a whim. And actually, if you don't have a lifetime to quiet the nervous system, you, on one hand, you're, because it takes so long, you're out of luck. But core resonance is a technology based on neurofeedback to rapidly quiet the nervous system. I've discovered how to give the brain exercises through neurofeedback so the brain can organize itself and clean itself up. In other words, with neurofeedback and electrodes on the scalp, and all they're doing is picking up the brain firing, we can give the brain exercises so that it discovers itself through the hardware software. And as it discovers itself, it reorganizes itself, kind of like a technology mirror. So that's kind of, and I have had massive, massive, massive and interesting results with that. In fact, I would suggest that Core Resonance the can actually deliver one to the ascension process, because ascension is the opposite of resistance, the opposite of overload. And as you clean all of this debris out in the brain and the nervous system, and the whole thing quiets down and your connection becomes enabled, you simply become blended with source. And that is the ultimate aim of all of my work. But the other division in Core Resonance or my work is now called Visionaries Lab. And Visionaries Lab is all mind-based technology, because mind-based is much easier to access. In other words, you carry your mind around with you. It's available all the time. And how I actually got started in much of this was learning about affirmations and goal setting. In fact, I was retired by 30 with a 40-foot sailboat by harnessing the subconscious mind and goal setting and meditation. And so what I've recently done, I think it was late 2022, only 3 4 months ago, actually probably go back to the middle of the year 2022, I decided to revamp Core Resonance back to its origins and start teaching. In other words, I topped out where I wanted to go with Core Resonance, the neurofeedback end of things. And I wrote an article titled States of Being as Feeling, where I was able to identify the higher octaves of consciousness as different states. Joy is a state, elation is a state, gratitude is a state. And the higher you go, the less resistance, the less overload, the more blending with source, the higher your state becomes. And I actually stopped after I wrote that article, because I wanted to go back and collect what it is I've learned over the last 20 years. And so now Visionaries Lab is the focus, and Visionaries Lab is my about mind-based technologies. And the best way to work with the mind is to saturate it with certain types of ideas so that the mind's output becomes more like what we'd like it to be, rather than it kind of running on its own, which most of us have quite a bit of experience with, all the chatter and it running on its own. So conscious through consciousness, we can train the mind to deliver a different type of result, or a specific type of result, which could very well be about blending with source. And so that's a little bit about the tools available. I have some other things, but that's kind of the primary thing right now.
I'd like to go back to the nervous system based offerings, if we could, for a minute. Most people, who've had any experience with personal growth at all have probably meditated or learned some system meditation. So I'm imagining that our listeners have some feel for what that's about. Could you compare and contrast meditation with the nervous system based technology that you were describing earlier? I really got that it's faster, which is a big deal, particularly for those of us who may not have that many years left. But could you compare and contrast meditation with the technology you've discovered that's based on neurofeedback?
Okay, so first, I have almost a lifetime of meditation. I'm right at, I think November this year will be 50 years background in meditation. And so, first off, that's quite a, when I say an accomplishment, it isn't anything that I can go around strutting my stuff because it when I was 23 and started meditating, that's not an ego-driven thing. It's I just happen to have a lifetime of meditation for which I have an interesting vantage point that a lot of people don't have. I will say, and I dated a woman in Guadalajara for a while, and her she and her brother were lifetime meditators, but so were their parents. And so, talking about DNA and this and that from maybe an earlier talk. When you have a, when you're a second generation meditator, you have something that a first generation meditator doesn't have. And that is kind of a backdrop for understanding the world you're entering, which I did it just kind of from scratch and have accumulated a lot of knowledge, but I didn't have the fortune of understanding why I was doing it, other than I wanted to kind of escape the certain amount of overload I was in at the time when I was 23. And so my point is that meditation, there's different gradients of it. And I will, just for fun, I'll add, I've heard stories about people at Maharishi University in Fairfield, Iowa, that were meditating 16, 18 hours a day. And they became really, really, really spacey. In fact, I think in some respects, they didn't accomplish much in their lives because all they did was meditate. And so the point becomes, in my personal experience, while I've been a meditator my whole life, I've always had goals, and I've always, I was after my sailboat for so long, and the different things I've wanted to do, and I've combined meditation with an active life. And so I throw that out as an idea, something to think about. But in some respects, the problem with meditation, and by the way, meditation is entirely natural. And I would also say you have mind, guided meditations. And while those deliver an introspective component, what we really want to learn how to do is a meditation where we use a mantra to kind of keep the mind busy until we disappear. Because meditation is actually an experience of no mind. That is actually the goal of meditation is no mind. And the curious thing is you can't use the mind to get out of the mind. So meditation is a technique that's ancient that allows people to move to a state where they can move out of the mind for periods of time. And sometimes people concentrate on a candle until they kind of disappear. And by the way, meditation is very enjoyable once you learn that meditation is about relaxing, and I don't mean sleeping, but you don't force meditation. You don't push the noise away. You allow it, and as you move into more allowing, meditation becomes more available, and eventually the mind becomes silent, and that's the beauty of it. Again, I like to say two generations of meditation is far more interesting than one generation, and most of us don't have anywhere near that. And so core resonance with what I've discovered, I was introduced to neurofeedback by my second physicist, and I had the interesting situation of running, of selling $1 million worth of neurofeedback in a 14-month period. And what I did was I caused and challenged my clients. And by the way, that $40,000 for the gear, or they were doing 10 sessions for 1700. And what I was causing them to do was document what they were discovering. And that became the beginning of understanding the depth of the possibility of what neural feedback is capable of. And what I ended up doing was breaking away. So I initiated my discoveries about neural feedback through my client base and in my own experiences. I had a kind of a broad range of information of discovery, and I was asking them to look for newfound synchronicity. I was asking them to what were they getting from the neural feedback? That's what I was looking for. And so we became where we were looking for the benefits of doing these sessions that we're paying, in some respects, a fortune for. And what eventually happened, I broke away from that company because that guy wasn't anyway. And eventually turned neural feedback on its head, and I used it entirely differently. And I learned how to let the brain find itself through the hardware software rather than starting with a brain map. And somebody in the lab coat deciding what your brain looked like and decided what your brain needed to fix your brain. And so I learned how to let the brain rediscover itself through the hardware software, let the brain reorganize itself through the hardware software. And what I ended up achieving was a massively more quickly, whoa, words don't go together, method of quieting the brain, which is a single part of the nervous system, because that's what meditation does over a lifetime, is the nervous system quiets down. And yes, you'll have benefit, sometime in as little as a couple of weeks, because you'll go just that beginning to become internally quiet makes a difference. But when I discovered how to let the brain discover itself through the hardware software and reorganize itself, because the brain's about efficiency, and as it becomes normally, the brain gets its information sorted by the mind, or translated, or interpreted by the mind. And so the brain doesn't get that much direct information. Now, when you're little and you fall and, learning balance, that's brain learn. Riding bicycles, brain learn. Swimming is a brain learn. But most everything that the brain does right now is based on overload, and the mind has a big part in interpreting all of that. So when we allow the brain to have direct experiences with itself, that is entirely new. It's entirely unique. I think 5% of the neurofeedback world understands this. Probably the TM people, they do a lot of work with neurofeedback. They probably understand this concept. And I, as with everything, I tend to trip into things, and luckily I've been writing all along. So now core resonance is a very evolved technology. It's meant to be used by six people, shared by six people. And maybe we'll talk about the map of consciousness and how that ties into all of it. But
It's clear to me from your comments, Jim, that core resonance is a faster way to quiet the mind than meditation. Is that a fair statement? And question number two, summarize from your point of view the benefits of quieting the mind.
well, okay, so first off, what we're doing with neural feedback is we're quieting the brain, and as the brain quiets down, the mind quiets down. So we're not really quieting the mind. Meditation, you might say it's about quieting the mind, but what ultimately happens is the brain quiets down, because the brain on overload is what goes on. We're all in overload because the brain attempts to process all of our life experiences. And so the brain on overload is really the source of the problem. And I believe that when we had access to guidance, we didn't even have a mind as we think about the I part of us, the I importance. And so meditation is used to ultimately quiet the nervous system, for which the mind quiets down. That's the way I would explain it. And it's People could argue it's the opposite, but what I've really come to see is that when you use core resonance, what we do is we quiet. So listen, so this is an important idea, and this is why I kind of throw it out the way I do. Core resonance can rapidly cause the nervous system, the brain, of which the brain is the single biggest part, to rapidly diminish its overload because the core resonance can allow the brain to discover itself, for which the brain reorganizes itself, the brain quiets down. And as the brain quiets down, our subtle connection with source becomes enabled because you see, our nervous system as a whole is like a living antenna system for which the brain is just a single part of it. We could get into what neurons are made of and microtubules and all that. But the point is, when you quiet the nervous system, that natural state of connection with source becomes enabled. And as it becomes enabled, the mind subsides. There's something huge in that.
Amen.
There's something huge in that because the mind is the guard dog for the brain on overload, and the mind will not put itself aside. It will not, but it does respect the connection with source, and it will subside to that. And we achieve that by quieting the nervous system with this type of neurofeedback that I've developed that's entirely different from most of what's out there. And I'll tell you what, algorithms are not what I'm talking about. Algorithms is just a type of control, a type of programming. What we want is nature itself to reestablish the brain. And so by giving the brain access to itself through the hardware software, it discovers itself, reorganizes itself, quiets down, means the nervous system quiets down, connection opens up, mind subsides. There's your big game right there.
So, my dear friends listening to us today, if you would like to quiet your mind so that you can establish a connection with Source or God, send an email to the man I'm talking to this morning. Everyone who is listening to this recording this morning, I'm Rob Christie, and I'm with my dear friend Jim Hamilton. We're talking about personal growth and transformation, and more specifically, the technologies that Jim has invented that support that process in a way that's been proven to be effective over time. And I'd like to start this morning with asking Jim to share with us Visionary's Lab and what that the technologies therein are about. I've talked to Jim about this before. And I'll tell you one thing that excites me about it. You know, everyone who's been involved in growth and transformation for any length of time has, at some point, done affirmations. Maybe self-created, maybe from a guide. And I think it's fair to say that most of those efforts end up in frustration. And there's a reason for that. And Jim, take it away. Why are so many people frustrated by the affirmations they have attempted?
All right, Rob. So again, great to spend some time. We always end up with interesting discoveries and conversations. My first thought about affirmations, and not so different from meditation itself, is the discipline of doing it. You know, half of what meditation about is the discipline of doing it. And so affirmations are similar to that, except there's gradients of affirmations. At one spectrum level, affirmations are often about what people want to escape. Or I'll even say that resisting what we don't want, just plain simply fighting what we don't want, is actually an affirmation, actually. Because especially if we repeat it all the time, or we're whining about this or complaining about that, and something we don't like or something we're fighting against, not only is it focus, it's technically an affirmation, because there's a principle underneath affirmations that what you focus on expands. So there's three ways of creating affirmations. One is by resisting what you don't want. And a lot of people are in that mode, and they simply complain about what they don't want, or they fight against what they don't want, and they don't realize how much focus and how much of an affirmation that is. Another type of affirmation, which is a little bit more in the actual affirmation world, is what you want, like a red new red convertible or this or that. But generally, the affirmation is based on escaping what you don't want or what you don't have. And so the affirmation tends to be two part. I want a new red convertible because I'll be the coolest guy in the parking lot in high school, or just whatever it is. And so often affirmations are a product of what we want based on really not that high a quality of an idea or ideal in the background. And so I'm not saying affirmations aren't successful, because frankly, whatever your focus is on is what you achieve. And so what we really want to do is learn how to have affirmations that drive what we want, that deliver a wholeness and a wholesomeness to our overall well-being. And so visionary affirmation, like I remember wanting my 40-foot sailboat. The early version of that affirmation was, I own a large liveaboard cruising sailboat. I don't remember the rest of it. And the Jimmy Buffett music and the whole lifestyle of everything I was doing was all about owning what ended up being a 39-foot Pearson centerboard yawl, which is absolutely a gorgeous boat. And I was still 25 when I put the deposit on that boat. That's a whole story all by itself. But goal setting and affirmations is the beginning of learning how to harness the subconscious mind, because as we have output, or as we become clear about what we want, we see results in our life for which we then refine our output and we achieve better results. But what I'm more here to talk about is the idea that what we want are affirmations at the very least. I recommend moving past the red convertible and deciding on affirmations about how you want to feel. It's much cleaner energetically. So what you when you want the red convertible, really what you want is how that makes you feel. Why not have it instead limited to having the red convertible and how you feel with the hair, that wind going through your hair as you drive your car? Why not always have that feeling of feeling great? And so affirmations can be used at quite a few different gradient levels. Ultimately, I'm using affirmations now to saturate the mind about our connection with source. Because we can saturate the, and our mind is saturated anyway. Why not get really clear about what we want to saturate, what we want our end result to be? And using the mind as a technology, we can, there's a lot we can achieve with it.
I think I've never heard someone speak about affirmations before from a gradient, point of view. It's more you're saying an affirmation because you want something. And, it's that simple. And yet you're talking about at the lowest level of the spectrum, it's saying an affirmation about avoiding something you don't want, And then there's a level where you're saying the affirmation because there's something missing in your life. And you use the example of the red convertible, and from your earlier history, the sailboat that you wanted. And I just want to insert there, I think, people who have been on the path for a while, if they've had the good fortune of getting the red convertible or the sailboat or whatever that is in their life, there's a certain point where a little voice said, well, isn't there something more? Isn't there something more? And that's what you're speaking to when you talk about using affirmation technology to access a connection with source or with God. Say a bit about how you support a client in using the affirmation technology you've just that you offer in Visionaries Lab.
Well, so Visionaries Lab is all mind-based technologies, and we can learn how to harness the subconscious mind. We do that by harnessing the mind, you might say. But what I've learned how to do is, so my backdrop was affirmations. I mean, I barely got out of high school. I started with a book called The Lazy Man's Way to Riches by Joe Carbo. I only read a third of it because it was about harnessing the subconscious mind. It was the only part I was interested in. By 30, I'm retired with a 40-foot boat and the whole thing. But what I've learned how to do is coach people through the process of, okay, so what do I do? Soaring Affirmations, Prosperity, and Guidance Light is a tool that I teach. It's a technology, and we start with a type of affirmation that is proven. Now, I could rewrite these and make them more than they are, but it's a set of proven affirmations around abundance and prosperity. And we learn how to use these, and then we learn how to interpret them in an upscale manner. So we write them every day. And then we do what becomes a soaring affirmation, which is an interpretation of these seasoned affirmations for which we allow a type of freedom. We move it from an I experience to a visionary experience. And we release the earthly bounds and bonds of the affirmation. And so it jumps another major gradient level. And the idea is we want to learn how to use the mind to reach toward the frequency of God. And so we use affirmations as, I mean, you can't just pour knowledge into the head. So we have to saturate the mind with new ideas if we want to change our thinking and change our results. And the end result is soaring affirmations, where we take something that is seasoned and evolved on its own, and we take it to a whole nother level. And then we start documenting the new discoveries that come along with it.
Wow. I think anybody who's been involved in growth and transformation pretty early on comes to the conclusion that they need mentors, that they need guides, that you can only make it so far in the process, based on what you can do on your own. And I'm really struck, Jim, with the power of a client getting involved in Visionaries Lab and going through a process you've developed over many, many years that's based on a set of proven affirmations that, if embraced and used via a journal or some other means, allow you to jump a level. That's a big deal.
So, as I like to say, mind-based, first off, once you've discovered access to presence and true guidance, you realize how poor a tool the mind is from the get-go. But when it's the only thing you got and you can't use the mind to get to presence, because presence, there is no mind. In fact, there's no mind, there's no time, and there's no resistance in presence. And so you can't use the mind to get to presence. But we can use the mind, and we can refine the mind. We can cause the quality of the output of the mind to grow substantially, because ultimately what the mind is, first off, whatever comes out of the mind is technically your prayer. Anything that comes out of your mind is your prayer, but it's also your focus. And so we can upgrade the quality of your focus. And frankly, all of your affirmations should be nothing less than about your connection with source, enabling a natural state of connection. But you can see the little catch 22 in that is, how do you get to a quality of affirmation that enables your connection with source when it's something that's really beyond the mind to begin with, or hell, you'd be doing it. So what we have is an incremental stepping stone, as you kind of stated, where we can take people through gradient levels to what becomes soaring affirmations. And soaring affirmations is definitely something that comes from my own work. And I'll state that I journaled for 2 years before I wrote Visionaries Thrive in All Times. And in that journaling, I began by saying, "Good morning, Jim. We are pleased to speak with you." And that whole 2 years of journaling gave me a freedom. It wasn't just me, I talking from my limited self. It was a we conversation. I was talking about me as if I was already blended with something bigger than myself. And I think a lot of people understand journaling in that manner, but it's the ultimately what we're after is learning how to blend with source, such that the mind diminishes. You can't have the mind run. You can't get there with the mind. Ultimately, the mind, just like in meditation, as the mind diminishes, the meditation becomes more powerful and more useful. And the same thing with soaring affirmations. This is a mechanism that ultimately leaves the mind behind. It doesn't leave the mind behind completely, because the mind is kind of the foundation, but we've cleaned up the mind so much that it becomes really useful, to the point we've now come to have what I call access to what I call guidance light. And guidance light are a little bit different, but for all the men and the boys and the women out there, guidance light is a really strong start on the bigger picture, because you will now have a taste for what the possibilities are. And for example, soaring affirmations, prosperity, and guidance light, I developed it in 2004, 2005, and I've done it half a dozen times over the many years. You do kind of have to kind of prop it up and keep the mind saturated, but the possibilities are virtually endless, far beyond the mind's capacity to express on its own, far beyond.
Just for fun, Jim, I remember decades ago when I was learning how to sell, the concept of an elevator speech. So you're getting on at the top floor of the building, and the guy turns to you and says, "Gee, aren't you Jim Hamilton? I've heard about you. Tell me what you do." What do you say? You got 3 minutes till you hit the ground floor.
Till hit the ground, huh? Well, first off, it would really be a product of who I'm talking to and my sense of their demeanor and all those types of things. Because sometimes you start with the weather and you work your, so you got, it's about rapport. But the bottom line is that I teach access to ultimate personal performance, and ultimate personal performance is a product of the quality of our connection with source. And the nature of that is less mind and more guidance. I'll give you an example. What makes sports so very interesting, and like Michael Jordan and the basketball players, is as they would go down the court as a team, they learned, or they moved into the state of becoming mindless. And when they were mindless, they moved out of the limitations of the mind, and they did things that they couldn't do. And not only were they excelling, and yes, they had lots of training and lots, but you see, the experience of being on a basketball court as a premium team is they played mindlessly. And not only playing, being mindless on your own is extraordinary, but being mindless in a group of people is really extraordinary. And so that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, things that I can access or teach people how to access, is how to become mindless. And when it's done properly, guidance takes its place. And that's when things start getting interesting, and then you become exponential in your contribution. And so why the audience, what the audience gets out of is watching this team being mindless, going down the field or down the court and achieving their goals. That is their excitement. And so mindless is actually a very powerful experience. It's not very well understood, but there's evidence of it all around. Even Tom Cruise in his new movie, he says, don't think. You know, that was one of the conversations with these guys, these pilots that had to do this impossible task, was don't think. You got to move past thinking, because thinking is way, 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 way too slow. Way too slow. Way too slow. Things move so much faster in presence and moving out of the mind. Guidance light is the game.
Thanks to everybody listening today for sticking with us through this segment. If we've piqued your interest regarding using a nervous system-based technology or a mind-based technology to access your connection with source in a way you might never have dreamed possible, please get in touch with Jim Hamilton. He has the technologies to support you in so doing. Bye for now.
Thank you so much.